For the service, for all that he has done for us in giving us meat. That's the meat of the Word of God in due season. We need the Word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will never pass away. And we're hearing scripture about the illustration of the tree that is planted up, planted by the rivers of water, and it brings forth fruit in its season. Turn that one on. It brings forth fruit in its season. See, we learn all of these things, and we thank God for his mercies. Thank God that we have such understanding and such a knowledge. Jesus, in the 23rd chapter of the book of Matthew, we had it this morning, and we had a wonderful time in the Word of God. We didn't get, see, you can get the Word of God, but you're getting it in pieces, a little piece here and a little piece there. Somebody said, come on, get a piece, but that's not the way it works. It has to be line upon line and precepts upon precepts. It's a continuous revelation. Just hearing one sermon doesn't do it. Doesn't do a whole lot for you. You have to continue. If you continue, Paul said you're saved if you keep in memory the things which I've spoken, I've said unto you. It's a continuous revelation. The Bible is not just a little piece here. Somebody cut out a piece and give you a meal. And what do you do after that? See, you have to, how can they hear without a preacher, without a teacher? You have to be continually hearing what the Spirit, not what somebody's saying, but what the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, is saying unto the church. Somebody say, oh, come and hear this person. It's the Spirit you need to hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. You cannot get away. You cannot get away from that. And in the 23rd chapter of Matthew, we had it this morning. What we were dealing with where Jesus was dealing with the scribes and the Pharisees. And look what Jesus said. This was quite a conversation, a dispute. Jesus presented quite a lesson here in the 23rd chapter, verse 19, is that? When he said, fools and blind, ye fools and blind. They were spiritually blind and they were ignorant of the Word of God. He says, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctified the gift? See, we said, no, the gift is greater. No, the altar is greater. Because it's the altar that sanctify the gift. Whoso, therefore, shall swear by the altar, swear it by it, and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple, swear it by it, and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven, swear it by, we had all that this morning, by swear it by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. Who's sitting on the throne? That's God himself. See, God sits upon the throne. And verse 23, Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Judgment. Notice the weightier matters of the law. That's judgment. Underline that. See, faith, mercy, faith. These ought ye to have done. What should they do? Obey. Judgment. The weightier matters of the law. Judgment. Mercy and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the others undone. You blind. They were blind spiritually. You blind. Guides. Guides. They were. You know what a guide is. You go. A guide take you around, and he or she's supposed to know. Okay, the place, and they tell you what and the history of it, but they didn't know the history. They were blind. The history of the things of God. Blind guides. You have a blind preacher. I'm not speaking about naturally blind, but I'm speaking spiritually blind. A preacher that cannot see. They can quote a verse or two of scripture and give you a little story and a little experience. But I'm talking about seeing the things of God. Seeing the invisible. The things of God, what others cannot see. They see that. Said, ye blind guides, which strain at a knot. They're perfect. They strain at a knot. But look what they're doing. While in their perfection, they swallow a camel. Is that something? He says that 25 verse. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Now, this is Jesus speaking. I'm just reading what Jesus said. And don't you know the words of Christ is most important? This is in, we call it the red letter. This Christ, you want to make sure you see it. It stands out. For he make clean, underline that, you make clean the outside of the cup. But, and of the platter. So you have the cup and the platter. And Joni, you should know that because you know about all of that. You know, you're just a good cook and know all of the decorating a table and putting it out. Everything's got to be clean. I've been to your house. And the cup, notice here, the cup and the platter, as to what would the platter be? I know what the cup is, but the dish, right? Plate, the whatever. But you make that clean. You're perfect. You set a nice table, naturally. Boy, everything is right. Somebody come to your place and everything is just spotless. You know, I mean, you're technical. The cup and the platter, but it's on the outside. See, how would you like to be drinking out of something that the outside is really clean? But the inside, notice, the outside is clean, but within... Read on. But within, they are full of extortion and excess. The outside is clean, but the inside, they're not focusing on the inside. Now Jesus is bringing home a lesson for you and for me, for us. The outside, the natural man on the outside, we dress up clean, everything is perfect. But the inside, your heart, it's full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within. Go on in the inside. You got to, somebody said, but I washed the dishes outside, but you turn it down. Did you go inside? Did you go inside? Well, that's not the way God works. God goes on the inside. See, God washes the inside. And he said, thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first, number one, that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. So God, under the law in, I think it's Leviticus 9 verse 14. Just look at that. And I will come right back here in Leviticus chapter 9, you find it? Verse 19, what does it say? In Leviticus chapter 9, and 9 verse 14. Yes, read that. And he did wash, that's the high priest. But notice now, he did wash where? The inward. the inward first. Remember the Lord said you should wash the inward first. Well, what did the high priest? Look at it. God's very technical. And Jesus was a scriptorian. Jesus knew the scripture. And he said, make first, clean first, where? The inside. Then the outside. Now, how did the high priest wash the sacrifice? And he did wash the inwards first. And then the legs outside. And then he burnt them upon the burnt offering upon the altar. Do you understand the order of God? It's not that they just the outside, but there the high priest burned the wash before he burnt. He made it clean, but he started from the inside. That's where God does. He begins on the inside of us. When David said, wash me and cleanse me. Did David say that? What was he doing? Like in Psalms 51, David cried out to God, asking God to cleanse him and to, he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew, verse 10, and renew a right spirit within me. Look, excellent, a good spirit, a Holy Spirit working in your spirit, his spirit. God has to create a right spirit within us. Verse 11, cast me not away from thy presence and take not the Holy Spirit from me. Go back to Matthew, what verse in the 23rd chapter of Matthew? Jesus says, make clean, 26, makes clean the inside first. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside, hallelujah, that the what? That the outside, that the outside of them may be clean also. And verse 27, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchre, which indeed appeared beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones. That's something, isn't it? And of all uncleanness. Next verse. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. See, we need help right here. See, we need, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter. See, how do I get my righteousness to exceed the righteousness of the scribe and Pharisees? By trusting in his righteousness. By being washed. Amen. By being washed in his blood. Oh, okay. Before I go further, what else do I want here? 29? Yes, but I don't want to go through the whole thing right now. So here we're talking about washing. And we mentioned about how can we be clean. Jesus said to the disciples, now you're clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. That you become clean by when God washed us by the washing of the water, by the word. See, the word is the water, and he washes us, and he cleanses us. Then in Revelations, the first chapter of the book of Revelations, if you look at verse where it says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Revelations chapter 1, unto him that, verse 5. Look at Revelations 1 and verse 5 says, and from Jesus Christ, who He is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth unto him that loved us. And he, you remember, he's our high priest. He's our great high priest. And it's the high priest that washed the sacrifice. And you are the sacrifice. I'm the sacrifice. And Romans 12 said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And when you're presented to God, what does he do with you? He washes you first. He doesn't just set the fire to you, because the sacrifice has to be clean. So he washed you. So David was asking to be washed from washed away the pollution, the sins of the fathers, the sins of the world. The fallen nature had to be dealt with. And it says that unto him that loved us, Revelation, the faithful witness, to him that loved us. Right? Verse 5 said, he washed us from our sins in his blood. What does he do and how does he do it? Huh? He's the one that washed us from our sins with his own blood. How does he do it? He washed the inside of us. And then he washes the outside. And now you're clean. How can a young man cleanse his ways? By the word of God. Taking heed to the word of God. You remember, it's the word that became flesh and dwell among us. Jesus Christ was the word of God that died on the cross and shed his blood. It's called Acts, the 20th chapter, speaks about the blood of God. And how he purchased the church with his own blood. That's the blood of God. You were purchased with blood. And by walking in this truth, this light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all our sins. And verse 6, Revelation says, and had made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory. Can you give him some glory? To him be glory. Hallelujah. To him be glory. And dominion for how long? So it's forever. So when you have a hard time lifting up your hands a little bit, and you have a hard time coming to church a little bit, you don't understand what the kingdom of God is about. Because we were created for God's glory. We were created to praise him now and forevermore. The intention of God, to God's intention, is that we might come into a knowledge of God, a saving grace of Jesus Christ. See, the church is not a joke. See, we've never hardly really realized what a church is. Jacob said, it's a dreadful place. If you ever come in contact with the knowledge of God, you don't play church. Nobody can influence you. But if you can be influenced and pulled on and uprooted, it's because you don't know. You have not come into that knowledge. You think you know, but you really don't know. But if you are grounded in God and stable, you listen to the voice of the Spirit. The Spirit and the bride say come. You know what voice you're listening to. You don't listen to every voice. You listen to one voice. That's the voice of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, which shall guide you and lead you in all truth. And it says that, and had made us kings and priests, not unto yourself, but unto God and his Father. And to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Then it goes on, the second advent, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see, and they also which pierce him. You find that in Zechariah also. and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so. Amen. Then he goes on and tell you. But down in the same chapter, if you go towards the latter part, let me start at verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. You remember, that's the Lord he saw. And he describes his feet, his hands, and how dreadful and awesome this being is. And he said, and when I saw him, verse 17, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and I'm the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, but behold, I am alive. For how long? Forevermore. I'm alive forevermore. Read on. And have the keys of death and hell. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery. Now it's showing us a mystery now. That you don't add to it. You just accept it. You don't try to explain it. He just explaining it. The mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars. Hold on. The seven stars are the angels. Am I reading that right?
Yes.
The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So I wonder, the seven stars are the seven angels. So, that's not the ministers. That's not men. That's not appointed men. Those are angels coming down to teach us. Oh no. Because if you read the word of God further on and other scriptures, you'll find out it's unto the church is given. The church has that knowledge. For unto the church is given to declare the manifold wisdom of God. Not angels. See, not angels. See, an angel cannot do what I'm doing tonight. Because an angel has never been washed in the blood. An angel has never been made a high priest or a priest. But it's unto us, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood and made us kings and priests unto God. My Lord. See, but unless you understand the scripture, you'll run off and you'll ignore the order of God and says, oh, well, we need to see angels. But what you need to see is ministers of God. And Jesus, hold on here. Jesus said, did I finish that? Let me just finish here. And it says, the mystery of the seven stars and the mystery which thou sawest in my right hand, the seven stars in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. That settled it. See, you don't need to explain that, because Jesus already tells us that the seven stars in his right hand were seven angels. Amen. And the seven candlesticks were seven churches. And you can read them right there. And Jesus addressed the letters to the angels. Hallelujah. To the angel. Look at verse 1, chapter 2. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write. These things said he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. That Christ holding the ministry, the ministers of the seven churches. Not angels. Not what you think in your mind, wing angels or whatever, if they have wings. But that's not what it's talking about right there. It's men that's called of God, apostles. Do you know that an angel is a messenger? An apostle is a messenger. See, that have the gift. Apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers. And what Jacob, go to John, 1 John, I mean, St. John chapter 1, right now. And I think it's the going down to the last verse. Let me just slip that right here now. In John chapter 1, what verse where? 51 is it? Verse? What does it say? 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him. And he saw Nathanael coming to him. And said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, now that's powerful. Before that your brother Philip called you, before anybody talked to you about Jesus, even before you came to an understanding of Jesus, of the Word of God, before I knew you, I called you. See, God's ahead of any human being. And he says now, he says that before that Philip called you, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. Now, when you were under the fig tree. Now, maybe he was sitting under a fig tree. But do you know that from the days of Adam, when they were there under the fig tree, hiding themselves, and I had to say, Adam, where art thou? I called him. I called you at the same time. I knew at the same time. I knew you before that. Before Philip called you, before Philip told you, I saw you from under the fig tree. Before they took fig leaves and clothed themselves, I knew you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How far does the call of God goes on your life? Huh? The fig tree. I knew you. Maybe he was sitting under some fig tree. But God knows him from before the fall. And he said, I called you. And he says, before that Philip called you, I called you before Philip. I knew you before Philip. Before you ever hear a man preach the word of God, God already stamped approval. Appointed you. Approved of you. God called you to a ministry. So, and now here we are. We have come to the kingdom for such a time, fulfilling our call. So before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. What a God. I saw thee. And Nathanael answered and said unto him. Nathanael, you hear that? Nathanael answered and said, what do you say, Nathanael? Rabbi. Thou art the Son of God. See, before you were ever born, Nathanael, Jesus knew you and called you. So that's why you begin to study the Word of God from a child and a young man. And say, Lord, I'll study the Word of God. Not a joke, but I'll be serious now. It's time to get serious and begin to accept that call. I knew you before that Philip called you. Said, Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, and thou art the King of Israel. So Jesus answered and said unto him, what a conversation. Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree. Believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. Here's what he said now. Follow it. You're going to see greater things than these. Let's go on. And he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter, you shall see heavens open. Notice, Stephen saw it. It was a short while after Stephen began to see it. Heavens open. You shall see heaven open. John saw it. Paul saw it. Here was Stephen being stoned to death. And here he was when he was dying. He said, I see the heavens open. And I see Jesus standing at the right of God. And what did he do? What did he do? He asked the Lord to forgive them. And what did he do? He ascended. Hallelujah. On high. What happened? What happened? He ascended. Lord Jesus, he said, receive my spirit. Into your hands I commit my spirit. What was that? What was that? That was the spirit of just men that was made perfect. That was reaching out to Zion. Hallelujah. That was Philip had finished his course. He had run the race. And now his spirit, the spirit of just men, are made perfect. And that's the mountain we're journeying to. The Mount Zion. And it says that, and the angels of the heavens open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. You. Where was the Son of Man? Where was the Son of Man? First he was here on the earth. Then he went back and he led. When he died and rose, he ascended on high. But when he did that, he led captivity, captives, and gave gifts unto men. Hallelujah. To the rebellious. He gave gifts to them. And he appointed them to minister, and he made kings and priests unto us that we might lead also captivity captives. He sent Paul to open the eyes of the Gentiles and to turn them unto God, that they might become partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So Philip here was told that you will see angels, heavens open, and angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Remember, the same one that descended is the same one that ascended. Yes. And when he came down, what Jacob saw, and they saw heavens open, and at the top, okay, at the top, he's getting ready to come down. Mm-hmm. He was getting ready to come to the earth. Yes. He was getting ready to come and be born as a man. And so he saw him at the top of the ladder. And angels going up and down, ministering spirit, up and down. What? With a message, with a hope. Yeah. And here, the disciples, the apostles, they were going up and down. Yeah. Yeah. What were they doing? They separated themselves from serving tables. That they could spend a time in prayer and in reading, studying the word. And how did they ascend? Through the prayer. How, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. You ever get a hold of God and begin to pray, and you begin to ascend into the glory. Not necessarily bodily, but your mind. Your mind begin to, your spirit begin to reach out. His spirit bear witness with your spirit that we are sons of God. Amen. And you begin to break through the veil of the flesh. Yeah. And you begin to reach out to God where Jesus Christ came. And Jesus was the first one to enter within the veil. And he made a way for us through the veil that we can come boldly unto the throne of grace. And that's why tonight we can anchor our souls, our spirits, beyond the veil. Because we have a forerunner. We have a forerunner that ascended, that went into the very presence of Almighty God. But when he did it, he led us. Hallelujah. He led us. He opened up the gates of brass and led us and take captives and led captivity captives and gave gifts unto men. Now, he that ascended is the same that descended. And said, an angel, the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. What did Paul do? Paul, I knew a man about 15 years ago that went up to the heavens. Amen. And what did he do? He came back with bread. He came back with bread, everlasting bread. He said, I've got more bread. I've got more truth. I've got more revelation than I can even tell you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's going to take time. That those were men. And John, another angel of God, was in. He said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And I heard a voice behind me saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And then further on you find where John saw the open door. An open door in heaven. And a voice saying, come up hither. Are you listening now? Come up hither. And John went up, and when he saw, and eventually, if you read on, he saw a multitude. He saw a lamb stood, as it had been slain. He saw a multitude. And what were they saying? Blessings and honor and glory and power and wisdom and might and dominion unto him that loved us. And John heard it, and John joined into it. And to him that liveth forever and ever. And then Revelation 7. Revelation chapter 1 first says, unto him that loved us, right? Yeah. And washed us from our sins in his own blood. And made us kings and priests. Unto God. Amen? Then Revelation 7 says, what does Revelation 7 says? Verse 9. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no one can number, of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robe, and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. But, hallelujah, somebody shout, they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And Revelation 12 said, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimonies. Amen? And they loved not their lives even unto death. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Now back to Matthew 23. He says that about the, he says, he told the scribes and the Pharisees that Matthew to first wash the inside of the cup. And then they'll wash the outside. Okay? What were they supposed to wash it? With the blood of the Lamb. They're supposed to submit themselves to Jesus and accept by faith the Son of God. And he said that you need to wash yourself. You need to be cleansed. But he said you're making the outside clean with traditions, with the ceremonial sacrifices, and you think that's enough. You think the blood of bulls and goats was enough, but he said that it doesn't go deep enough. You need the blood of Jesus Christ, my blood, the blood that would be shed on the cross of Calvary. And so he told them, said, now you need deliverance from that condition that you are. He said, the hypocrisy and all of that, that's inside of them. He said, you need to get rid of that. How? By the washing of the word. By the washing of the blood. By the washing of regeneration. And thank God tonight that he loves us enough that there is blood that is sacrificed while was slain. And the blood of Jesus was shed. And unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins. Ha! And whom the Son of God has set free. He's free indeed. Tonight, you're free from your sins. Your sins are gone. Your sins are gone. Paul tells us that one time, how we were alien and strangers and we were sinners. And we have our conversation in times past, in the world, in the lust of the flesh, and all of that. But tonight, we've been washed, he said. We've been cleansed. We've been delivered. We've been set free. Tonight, you're free. Amen. You're washed. You're not in bondage to the devil. You're not in bondage to the world. You're not in bondage to anybody because of the blood of Jesus Christ, that saving grace of Jesus Christ, that you can accept him tonight as your Savior, and you can be forgiven of your sins. You can be healed, delivered, blessed of God. You can accept Jesus, and he will come into your heart. Praise God. He will be your Savior. Now, let me close in Ephesians, the third chapter of the book of Ephesians. And it's beautiful. I love the book of Ephesians. So I'm going to start at verse 14. You know, when I say 14, I don't always mean that. I could back up some more. I like backing up. I need to, let me just read some of this because it's so good. Okay? Ephesians chapter 3. And it's only, yes, let me just read it because I love this book. Okay? And for verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoners of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given unto me, to you wards. Okay, have you heard that? Verse what, 3? How that by revelations he made known unto me the mystery. See the revelation? How did he get that? How did he get that? Remember? Greater things you shall see, because angels will be ascending and descending. Okay? And that by revelation they would be receiving mysteries to declare to the church. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mysteries, as I wrote afore before in few words. But now he was explaining it more. Said, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mysteries of Christ. Amen. That explains it. Who these angels were. Ascending. And descending, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy angels, apostles. I said earlier, an apostle is a messenger. And prophets by the Spirit. That the Gentiles, this is a mystery, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable greater things, the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see, notice men, not angel now, but men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent, here's the intent of God. To the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers, where? In heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So the influence of the church is to reach out even into the heavenly places. Did he say heavenly places? Now, he said, you will see angels ascending and descending. What happened to Jesus? What happened when Christ died and rose from the dead? What did he do? When he led captivity captives, what does the scripture say? And he made us sit together when he raised us up with him. Where? Where? In heavenly places. In Christ Jesus. When he ascended and I, he led us and made us sit together. In heavenly places. In Christ Jesus. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family shout. In heaven, on an earth. Okay? The family of God in heaven. He has a family in heaven and a family on earth. His name. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his grace, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That Christ, oh hallelujah, where is he dwelling? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being, notice, rooted, grounded in love, not pulled up like you pull up weeds, but you're rooted. You know what rooted means? You can't move. You're in it. You're stable. Not like that. Where God can't count on you. When the Lord's looking for you to praise him, you moved. Something root you up. But you say, please plant me back. No, that's not how it works. It's God that plants you. But notice where you're planted. And you're rooted. And grounded. In love. Do you understand that? You're rooted and grounded in love? That means you love God and you love the church more than anything else. You love the church. The saints in Laodicea, the saints in Ephesus, the saints in Thyatira, they love the church in Thyatira. He said, but did they love the church in Ephesus? Yes, they did. But they love the church in Thyatira more because that's where their root went. It's where God plants you. You don't plant yourself. It's God that plants you. Amen. Well, he said, God, root me up. No, it doesn't work that way. If you're rooted up, you're done. Because only Christ can plant you. Are you listening to the word of God? Are you just, you don't have a brain. You don't have any, you just let it blow over. And you do the same thing next week. You don't let people root you up. One time we went to a meeting, and I don't like to tell, but this was, we went to a meeting when Sister Angie was there. And somebody was trying to root her up out of the church. I mean, I went and it took her for maybe half an hour talking behind me. I was there. They were so bold. Trying to tell her to leave this church and trying to show that they were blood. She should go to this church because they're their blood. That's human blood. But me and her, she's still right here. But because me and her have heavenly blood. We go by the blood of Christ. We don't go by earthly blood. We don't go by uncle and auntie and brothers and sister and cousins. That's just human blood. But we go by the heavenly blood. And she said, no. I was her blood brother. And there she sits. Nobody could root her up. That's the way to be steadfast. Unmovable. Don't let nobody root you up. You know why? Because they think you're fickle. But when you stand and say, oh no, I'm committed. I'm already grounded. And I'm already rooted. And they pull again. And they keep pulling. But you're stable. And they blow winds and again, but you still stand. Those are the kind of people that God wants and looking for. That you're committed to the church. Not the pastor, but the church. God plants you. Don't let nobody confuse you and tell you, come on, you're going to get something better. Better? You don't understand what you lose. Better than this word? No. Boy, this word, I mean, the word of God will do something for you. I'm showing you tonight that you can ascend into the heavens by let Christ dwell in your heart by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Where are we walking? We're walking towards the new Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Let me close. What verse am I now? Verse 17. May be able. Notice here. Notice why you need to be rooted. May be able to comprehend with all saints, which is the breadth. Notice here now. Notice we're going to do some math. But you can only do this math when you're grounded. When you're stable. You understand that? You can't just do this if you're not grounded. Now, that we may be able, what does that mean? To comprehend with all. To understand with all. You're equal. You're not behind anybody. You're not the dunce of the class. But you're not a whit behind the chiefest of apostles. Oh my God. Don't you love that? That you're grounded and you have an understanding growing up into him in all things. So you might be able. My God, that's what a church is doing for you. That you might be able to shake Paul's hand and said, yes, I understand. Because I was in a church that understood what God's doing. That you may be able to comprehend. My. I mean, words of meaning and words. If I had a church that really understood what that means. But we understand on the tongue. But it's not in the heart. That you might be able to be brilliant. Smart. In the kingdom. Comprehend. With all saints. God. Woo. What? Notice here. You can comprehend with all saints. What is the breadth? The length. The depth. And the height. You can comprehend with all saints. How far. And how high. that ladder goes. How wide and how deep that ladder goes. Because you're ascending and descending. Comprehend. Greater things you'll see. Where saints begin to comprehend. You should have that word and chew on that word. You know, so I want to park at that word. I don't want to leave. It's so powerful. Comprehend with all saints. A little text message don't get you there. A little sermon is good, but it's not going to get you too far. But we need to move. You need to move in Christ. Don't park. Don't let nobody park you. I tell you, you don't need all that. You need every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Huh? Hey, well, what if you enter, say, a university, and they said, you go in there and you didn't know very much, right? And it's an I-class university, and they said to you, you're not going to graduate until you are just as equal as the smartest students. I know you don't know very much. Your only hope is that you're in the church that knows how to break through the thickness and the darkness of your brains. Are you not listening? You're not getting the depth. Admit. Look in the mirror and say, I don't know very much. Help me, Lord. Open my mind, open my heart, the eyes of my understanding. If you don't even know. Look, I don't want to embarrass you. Okay, don't get mad at me. But you don't even know enough in God to remember that it's Sunday. Or you can remember Monday, but you can't remember Sunday. You can't remember what you do on Sunday. You don't remember what time church starts on Sunday. I know. But you ask a boss, and you're constantly late, and he puts you and said, oh, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Really? Come on. That's the boss. He's going to commend you and give you a raise. And he's going to look at the example. No. But what, I'm just trying to break it down a little bit so you can understand to comprehend with all saints. The first thing you need to do, when the Lord walked in the garden, Adam, where art thou? Adam missed work. Deceivers. And you don't even know. Comprehend with all saints. First thing, I know what time they're gathering. That's a start there. A good start. I know what time they gather. And so I beat the clock. I clock in early. Overtime. Instead of ducking from my pay. Overtime. Okay, let me go on. You getting something out of it? I'm trying to get you crying started so you will come up and comprehend with all saints. I'm trying to show you that you're clocking in late. And God has a clock. And Adam wasn't there. And he called him. Where art thou? That you might be able to comprehend with all saints. Notice where we're going to go now. It's a lot of the length, the breadth, the depth, let me tell you something. We have to have, that's why he's got to give us an everlasting body. Amen. That can comprehend, because you can't in this flesh. No. So, thank God for the church. Amen. How come you're so quiet now? Look at you. See, you see, you don't like me no more. You don't love me anymore because I tell you the truth. I just mash your toe. I'm trying to help you to get some education. I'm trying to help you. Can't you say amen now? Woo, that word. Another thing is that, he said, but look at me. in the natural world, now let me stop because you're going to get mad at me. I want you as my friend. But let me obey the Lord. You see, in the natural world, if you're not going to, I know my wife worked, and if she's not can't make it, she called. And she said, I can't make it today, or an excuse, or an request. Now, her work has a better order than the church. Mm-hmm. I just do what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be the kingdom. Mm-hmm. You don't understand. You don't understand. The kingdom of God is more strict than any military. Elijah, you're here. Did you have to get permission? Did you have to get permission to leave here and to come, right?
Oh, yeah.
You had to do. Could you just leave?
There's a lot of paperwork.
Oh, but the church is not so. The church, they just do it. But in the military, and don't tell her. Because you don't think there's a 4-star, 5-star general standing here. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever seen a 4-star general? A 5-star general? You never seen one. One day you will. But when you see them, what would you do? Shaking and reverence and respect.
I do that with any of the officers.
And even the little sergeant. When he's passing and has his cane. If you are leaning, you straighten up. But you see, the world has a better order than the church. We don't realize that it's an army and we need to fight the devil. You don't even bring your army. You don't bring your weapons. You don't bring your Bible. You don't open your Bible. You just sit down. You don't clap your hands. All these people. When you clap your hands, stomp your feet, lift your hands up, you're giving damage to the devil. You don't understand that. And you get mad. You see, right? Well, I think I'll get mad. I think I'll leave the church. I quit the army. I do that because there's order. You're looking for a church that doesn't have any order. If I'm your pastor, and if I get on the phone and call you and say, can you please leave your squad wherever you are, right? And come on, I need you. Could you just walk off and come? But you think the church could do that? They just do that in the church? Yes, they do. Because there's no order. The kingdom. Yes, Jesus, here I am. Jesus said, who are you? I don't even know you. You don't even have enough respect to obey the stars.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, they're not stars. They are stars. They're not angels. Yes, they are. That's not a church. Yes, it is. Well, it's not 10,000 in it. So where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name. Are you listening to me now? Oh, there you are now. There you are upset with me now. Because God put a word in my mouth. Oh, Jesus. Let me sit down because that's why preachers don't preach. They're afraid, but I'm not. I got nothing to lose.
Amen. Glory to God.
Okay. Did I finish that? May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the bread. What am I telling you? I'm telling you now. I'm getting you to sit down to do your homework. What am I doing? Do you know what homework is? Yes. Sit down and do your homework. So you will be able to comprehend with all saints.
Yes.
The breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. And go on.
To know.
Do you get that? Everybody say no.
No.
So I sit you down right now tonight in the name of the Lord. And I'm saying you don't know what you think you know. But you need to know the length. And the height.
And to know the love of Christ.
And I don't care if you know much about biology or history. But I do know that you have to know the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That I know.
That I know.
I don't know. Amen.
And to know
the love of Christ. Rich Pat. Jesus. That's a lot of work. Yeah. Hey, everybody look at me. It's a lot of work. Especially when you don't have much up here. Or much down here. And a pastor is telling you that you need to know. The love of Christ. Notice here. Which passeth
knowledge.
Knowledge. All right. Passing. You ever drive down the highway and somebody pass you? Right.
That you might be filled.
Jesus. What a job. And you're not even here. He's got to fill you up. Who's going to do it? Jesus will. No, no, he won't. It's a preacher. It's an apostle. It's a prophet. It's your pastor. You think that you're not your own? You can't appear. You cannot appear before him empty. Empty doesn't mean that, well, I didn't only win a souls. Or you can win 100 souls and you're empty. So what would you give them if you're empty? It's my cup is full and running over. If your cup is not full, you ain't giving nobody nothing. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that he might be filled. Somebody shout, with all the fullness of God. Can anybody tell me what all the fullness of God is? So you got a lot of work. How old are you? And if it take you this long to get to nowhere, how much more longer it's going to take you? Are you listening now?
Yeah.
I'm trying to push you to know because the scripture said it.
Right.
And you're just careless. You just think that you got all the time and you can do whatever you want to do. That's a deception. You don't have the time, unless you, of course, you don't understand. But if you want to be and receive that inheritance, you've got to be filled with all. Do you want me to lie to you or tell you the truth? That you got to be filled. Do you want me to come and tell and say, no, no, you already filled up. You don't need any more. I'm lying. Because I know you're not. I'm deceiving you.
Yeah, right.
Well, it's sweeter to be deceived. No, you won't have no reward.
Yeah.
You've got to be filled with all the knowledge of God. The love of God which passes knowledge. That he be filled with all the fullness of God. What's the fullness of God?
Christ.
The fullness of the Godhead dwells in Christ. And we are complete. Now you've got to be filled up with Christ.
Amen.
And unto him, let's close now. Unto him that is able.
To do
exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by
Christ.
Where? In the what? Church. Where? In the church by or through Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Somebody say amen.